Welcome to the Not So Basic Training Podcast, featuring Suzanne Gust. And now, here's the Not So Basic Training Podcast.
The art of selling. Not just selling widgets, but selling ideas, selling yourself. We're all in sales. And so having the skill of being great at sales will help you build relationships. Many people think of selling as selling a product, but I'm not going to talk just about selling a product. It's selling a product or selling an idea. Most people also in selling a product ruin the relationship by walking in and just start pitching a product. Selling is actually the art of giving somebody something they need. And so if you're good in sales, you're great at determining needs. And that's what we're going to look at. So selling that we'll be discussing today is relationship selling. What I want you to picture is this relationship with your potential customer or your current customer or their supervisor or even your spouse. I want you to think of this relationship like a house. Your house that you're imagining has a basement, a main floor, and an upstairs. And I want you to think of what you personally have in each of these levels in your own home. In your basement, I bet you keep things that you wish you hadn't bought, stuff that you just kept because you spent way too much on it and you can't bring yourself to throw it away. It might be a rowing machine that you've never used and you're now hanging laundry on. It may be 20 cans of peas because they were on sale. In the basement, you also have treasures. The ornaments that your children made for Christmas, family albums, antiques, a brooch grandma gave you. It could be some tool that your father had that you've kept over the years. A basement is a very special place. In fact, if I really wanted to get to know you, I'd go down to your basement and just look around. On your main floor in your own home, I bet it's kept fairly neat and clean because if you have visitors, they're going to see that area of your home. Things that you're currently working on are on the main floor. Things like the homework for today. It can be the to-do list for Saturday. It can be the grocery list. It's got current pictures of your children or your family. And it's fairly clean and fairly respectable. And upstairs, if you have one, it's traditionally where the bedrooms are. It is a private retreat. It is quiet. And it is a place that is only for you and your family. You wouldn't typically bring a visitor up there. It's a place for relaxation and personal discussion. So now that we've got this home pictured, let's think about this and how it relates to sales. If I really wanted to get to know a customer or the person that I was working on selling them an idea, I would want to go down to their basement first. Now, here's where most people screw up. They would walk in the main floor, assume that they knew people from what was on the main floor, and start selling. I'm telling you, you've got to get down to that basement to really know somebody. If you want to gain trust, you need to know them, and you need to know what they need. And people are going to do business with someone who knows them, and you're going to create that relationship. There's a couple sayings that apply here. Customer doesn't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There's another saying that I like even better, though. No matter how much you think you know about somebody, they know you don't know enough. Now think about someone who maybe came in for an interview and you ask them, how much do you know about XYZ company? And they'll start blurting out information. In your mind, you think they don't know everything. What would have been better if they'd stopped and said, I know a little, can I get to know more? And so you're going to approach this sale in exactly the same manner. You are going to go to the basement and you're going to start asking some questions. And what you're going to want to do is eventually take a whole home tour. So let's go back and look at going from the basement main floor and upstairs, and I'll give you an example. In fact, let's say that in our example, a customer is a couple considering buying a new home or listing their existing home with a realtor. So let's start with listing their home. Knock, knock, knock. The person comes in. Now, when you invite someone in, they're on your main floor. And so they do have to get to know you, and it's the equivalent of standing in their foyer. In fact, what do you do in your foyer? You meet each other, you greet each other, you shake hands, you make small talk. Now, if you stay in the main floor, you get to know the person a little. But if you can get a tour of their basement, you're going to get to know them quite a bit. Here's some basement questions that a listing agent for a real estate company could ask. Could ask the couple, how many homes have you owned? That's something in their past, in their history, in their basement. How did you end up in this area? How did you find the home you're currently in? What real estate professional have you worked with in the past, and what did you like about your relationship with that person? What did you like best, and what don't you appreciate about a real estate agent? Now, why would I want all those questions, those historic basement questions? Well, because no matter how much I think I know, the customer knows I don't know enough. And also, it's going to help me start to determine their needs. Let's answer a few of those questions. First of all, how did you end up in this area? And the person might answer, well, my parents were ill. And how did you get your current real estate agent? I looked them up in a phone book to get the house I'm in. What did you think about them? They were awful. Why were they awful? Well, they were awful because all they did was send me to homes in my price range. They didn't pre-qualify what I wanted. They never looked at them. And from the home showing aspect, those people put a lot of effort into cleaning their homes and getting out so we could take a tour. And they weren't even close to what we needed. I hate that about real estate agents. It doesn't seem like they work. Now, wasn't that a good basement question? Because if you're going to list that person's home, they have just told you they do not want to clean it up and move out to just show it to everybody who can come through the door. They want to make sure you qualify the people first. That is an important piece of information. It's going to help you build a relationship better. If we moved up to the main floor of our questioning techniques, we might ask things that are currently going on. Like, for instance, tell me what's great about the home you're currently in. What do you think are going to be some of the best features for people who are moving in? And why did you decide to sell it at this point in time? Those are main floor questions because they are things that are currently happening. They might tell you that we think that the kitchen is the best and it's going to be a house that people have children and they can enjoy everything we have. It's not for fussy people, but it's childproof. And I decided to sell it now because I'm moving to my parents' house and they've passed away. And so now we're moving into the home I grew up in. Now this is going to help you understand their time frames and what they're thinking. Their time frames, if they already have a home, they probably want to get into it, but they may not be in any huge hurry. Now we've done the basement and we've done the main floor. Let's think about upstairs. Upstairs is private and personal, and it is where you close the sale. Now, if you think about someone coming to your house, you don't open the door and take them up to your bedroom. So that would be the equivalent of a listing agent coming in and asking you, when are you planning on listing? That is a personal, private, relationship-oriented question that happens at the end. Most people screw up sales by trying to rush up to someone's bedroom before they get to know them. So what I would ask in an upstairs question is, when do you plan to list your home? And what would be a convenient time for you to sign those listing documents? I've already built rapport and a relationship, and I've established what the person needs. And I also can tell how to sell myself because I understand what's important to that person. If you were selling a product, walking in the main floor, you would say, hello, how are you? And you'd rush right up to the bedroom if you were a horrid salesperson. You'd start pulling out the product from your bag and showing it to someone. That is the worst possible thing you can do. A customer knows you don't know enough, and they know that you don't know enough because you haven't asked any questions. Think about a tour of your own home. If someone were to come, and let's say you built a brand new home, and they walked in and they introduced themselves, hi, I'm Mr. and Mrs. Smith from next door. We just love a tour of your house. And then they started asking you where you got everything on your main floor. You'd probably rush them through and give them the nickel tour because they weren't very sincere. Imagine if Mr. and Mrs. Jones came over, introduced themselves, walked into the front door, and started asking you questions like, how did you end up in this neighborhood? And where did you come from? And how did you decide on this beautiful plan? And how many years did you plan on building a house? You'd probably give Mr. and Mrs. Jones the quarter tour because you thought a lot more of them because they ask you questions. So let's go through basement, main floor, and upstairs for a couple of different things. Let's do selling metal stampings, completely different than real estate, but we still start in the basement. For instance, if I were to meet a buyer at a plant that I've never dealt with before, a basement question would be, how long have you been a buyer? Tell me how you got to your position. Tell me about your best suppliers and why they're your best suppliers. And tell me what issues you've had with stampings in the past. Those are going to tell you what you need. Imagine that buyer says, my best supplier always returns my phone calls within an hour. They're telling you exactly what they're going to want and you. What if they say, when you ask them what issues have you had with stampings in the past, that the person says there's too much time in prototyping? Well, now you know if you have a short lead time, you've got a sales advantage. Those basement questions are going to make you successful. Selling metal stampings on the main floor would be, why are you putting this out to bid now? That's a current question. What are the key determining factors in deciding on the supplier for these metal stampings? When do you hope to make a decision? What are you struggling with right now that we can help you with immediately? An upstairs question is, what would prevent you from doing business with me on this particular issue? Now, I just walked someone from the basement all the way upstairs, and I cared about them, and I knew them, and I knew it was going to help sell them. Let's say that you have an idea for networking computers at your organization, and in networking computers, you have to convince your supervisor that it would be a great idea instead of having just singular computer stations that we should have a network. I wouldn't rush in the door and say, I've got a great idea. Let's put a network in. Because what you tend to get is all the reasons why that won't work. So we're going to start in the basement, even selling an idea. I go to a supervisor and I say, tell me about how the technology decisions have been made around here in the past. And tell me how we ended up with the computers that we have. And tell me the best technology decision you've ever made. I find out a lot about that person. What if that person said, we never had any computers, but now that we have them, they are the best thing. You can ask them, why are they the best thing? Because now we can all use the same technology. Now you know that you can sell them the next step, which is, now we can use the same technology. How about sharing the documents more easily? A main floor question in selling that idea would be, what do we need to do now that we can't do? And what would make it easier to do our jobs right now? Those are main floor questions because they're about current things. Upstairs would be, I'd like to propose that we network the computers. That's upstairs. See, we are selling constantly, 100% of the time. We're selling ourselves, we're selling ideas, we're selling products. But the best salespeople don't sell things. They supply what someone needs. And they're able to determine the need by asking questions. So I want you to think next time you're in front of someone, oh, did I rush upstairs to their bedroom or did I start in their basement? If you get opposition to something you're proposing, I want you to travel back down the stairs and start asking those basement questions. If you're doing a great job at asking basement questions, whoever you're talking to, the person who's making the decision, will pull you up the stairs. In fact, when you're on the main floor asking current questions, you'll know they're ready to buy when they start asking you, how can you help us with this? If you've done your homework by starting in the basement, the person will tell you what they need, and sales merely becomes supplying that need. Selling is asking open-ended questions. And if you'll notice the questions that we ask in the basement and the main floor, they were all open-ended questions. Open-ended questions start with who, what, when, where, why, how. You can even start them with tell me about or please explain. There's a couple of reasons why we use open-ended questions. The first is implied in the word open because it opens up the dialogue and it opens up the relationship. The reason why we're starting questions with who, what, when, where, why, and how probably goes back to your high school English class where you remember your teacher telling you no story is complete unless you include who, what, when, where, why, and how. Well, we want the complete story about this customer before we sell them anything. So the main floor and the basement questions are open-ended. but you can begin to use closed-ended questions when you move upstairs. You may also still use open-ended, but you can start to close the sale. I want to start closing the discussion and come to a conclusion that is wrapped around my product or my service. So main floor, basement, open-ended, upstairs, open, or probably moving to closed-ended questions. Let me give you an example of selling, in a horrid selling example, and then a good one. Let's say that I am walking into a client and I want to sell them computer-based training. So what I walk in doing is starting to pitch my product. By the way, this is the bad example. So I walk into XYZ company and they greet me at the door and they ask me if I want any coffee, and I remark on about the picture of their children on the wall, and then we get down to business. And I say, well, what I'm here today is to show you computer-based training. Why, it's the greatest thing in the entire world. You can print a CD, and you can have one person at a time sit down at a computer, and you can train them on anything. You can train them on how to spot a defect. You can do new hire orientation in an interactive video-based CD or DVD. It can be completed self-paced. We can let you choose English or Spanish or Vietnamese or whatever language you want. And it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. How many do you want? Remember that saying I gave you earlier? No matter how much you think you know, the customer knows you don't know enough. And they're going to start to tell you why they're not buying your product rather than telling you why it would work for them. Let's start in their basement with a good example. I want to sell computer-based training, but that's not what I walk in to do. I walk in to find out what the person needs. Here's the basement questions. After I've walked in, remarked on their children on the wall, had my cup of coffee, I start asking questions in the basement. Tell me how training works here. Tell me what you've done in the past with training. What is the length of your training? When you hire a trainer or when you do training in-house, how long has it been? And tell me what's the best training experience your organization has had. Tell me what made it so good, and tell me the worst experience your company has had and why it was so bad. Now let's go back and answer some of those questions. When I ask them what kind of training they do, they tell me mainly they do orientation and product training or technical training like SPC. And I ask, what is the length of the training? And they said, oh, never more than 1 hour at a time. And I said, what was the best training? And they said it was someone who was motivational and everyone instantly got something they could apply out of it. And I asked, what was the worst training? And they said it was when someone had to be in the room for 4 hours and they worried about production and they didn't get a booklet or anything to take home with them. Now, let me tell you what I've already learned about this client, that they're used to getting things in 1 hour chunks, that they want a workbook, that they want to have something applicable, and that's what they're going to buy. And no matter what I have to sell them, that is what they need or what they're used to buying. Now I'm going to move up to the main floor. What currently are you needing in training? And what are you worried about? And they tell me, right now we're worried about turnover. And because of our increasing turnover, we can't keep up with new hire orientation. And we can't take anyone off the floor to do new hire orientation. Now, I've got a lot of information I can start to examine and to give solutions for. I can start to pitch my product here by meeting some of their needs. And as I'm pitching my product, I'm getting them to shake their head yes. So you're telling me that you need a solution that doesn't take a lot of people off the floor. And they should be shaking their head yes. Now, all I'm doing is repeating back what they told me. And it's amazing. They think, wow, you understand us. All I'm doing is repeating what they said. And I said, and you want to make sure that they have something tangible to take with them, like a workbook, and that's what's going to help reinforce it. Person says, absolutely. And I say, and you want to make sure it's not fluff, that it's something the person needs. Yes. So I say, let me show you something I've seen other companies employ. And I pop in a CD and show them a computer-based training. And I start asking them, now, how long is the orientation? And they say, well, we only have one or two people. We rush through it, and maybe it's an hour and a half. great, let me show you how we can put an hour on a CD or DVD and the person can see some video and they can also answer questions. Now you're going to get a report that shows they've gone all the way through the training. So that's going to be good for your training records, which you'll need for QS9000. And also what you're going to get out of that is the person's going to be able to take out a list of things that they need to work on, because any questions they miss, it will print you a report of what they should study further. You'll get that, they'll get that. Also, there'll be a workbook they're given that they go through while they're completing the computer-based training, and they'll get to keep that. One extra thing, you said there's a lot of turnover. This will ensure that everybody gets the same training all the time, because as you indicated, training is coming from different people, who's ever available, and it's not consistent. And that is not good for your organization, but also could be increasing your turnover as people don't feel competent when they reach the plant floor. Now tell me, how much money do you typically spend on orientations? Let's add up the number of people that are involved in your orientation and how many hours they spend. And I would let the client add this up. Once we added it up, we take the average wage for these people, let's say $25 an hour with benefits, and we multiply it times the 300 hours that they spend every year on orientation. Well, I can tell you right now, when I propose a $4,000 CD, it's going to be a huge cost savings compared to what they currently are doing. And I'm going to ask them on the upstairs question, when would you like to get started on this project? All I've done is gotten their needs. I've repeated them back. I've given them a solution to what they need and asked them closed-ended questions so they are agreeing that I understand what they need and I'm able to supply it. That is selling. It's getting the need, it's repeating the need, and it's showing what you have to satisfy that need.
This has been the Not So Basic Training Podcast. For more information, visit our website at notsobasictraining.com.
Produced by Converge Podcasting.